I know that there's a tendency, whenever we hear a gospel passage that we are familiar with, especially when it's a long gospel, it's easy to kind of zone out. Because I know this passage. I know the characters. I kind of know the theme. I know what's going on. It's easy for us to kind of just slide over it and never allow the words to penetrate to the depths of our heart. That this fresh outpouring of the Word of God being made present in our midst is easy to miss if we don't intentionally listen and allow these words to penetrate. If we don't give the Holy Spirit permission to activate within our heart a true response to what Jesus is saying to us today. His wonderful parable that Jesus told. Do we hear the first couple of sentences as to why he told the parable? What was going on? To whom was he speaking? To whom were his words addressed? Were we listening? Why did Jesus tell this story? For the last few weeks, we've been hearing some pretty hard sayings of Jesus about the high cost of discipleship. And really what a struggle, how difficult it is to get to heaven. The narrow gate, hating our mother and father, never putting ourselves first, always taking the low place, taking up our cross, denying ourselves of everything. Pretty high calling. And today he tells us this story about the abundant mercy, the abundant love of God the Father. Because he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. The sinners and tax collectors are listening as well. And it's because the sinners and tax collectors are listening to Jesus that he had to tell this story, because the scribes and the Pharisees are complaining about who Jesus is spending his time with. And so these parables about things lost and things found, capping it with the two sons. And at the time of Jesus, and for us too, especially when it comes to the scriptures, when we hear about two sons, we should be thinking back to salvation history and the two kingdoms of the chosen people. How when King David had united all the tribes, and his son Solomon, through his infidelity and his life of dissipation, the kingdom was split into the north and the south. Two brothers. The kingdoms in the north, the 10 tribes, were conquered by the Assyrians in the 700 years before Christ. And they were spread throughout all the pagan, the Gentile territory, all the non-Jews. And they begin to intermarry and intermingle and begin to worship these pagan and idol gods. And they lost their identity as sons of the covenant, as true sons of Israel. And then the southern tribes, they also were brought into exile by Babylonia in the 500s. But they were able to return, and many of them returned well. And they rebuilt the temple and began to have a true temple worship sacrifice once again. So those are the two brothers, the two groups that we're dealing with. That the northern tribe was never meant to be kicked out. That they never were meant to be lost forever. And the southern tribe, those who stayed faithful, should have been reaching out, going to rescue those who were lost. But instead they built walls and made it almost impossible to achieve sanctity, to achieve holiness. But that was their standard. And they were teaching that the Messiah could not come, would not come, until everything was perfect and there was no sin around. And this is why they're complaining about Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. Because this man, who's been doing all these great works, this man who's been raising people from the dead and all these healings and all these wonderful teachings, there's no way he can be a Messiah because he's with the sinners. Their hearts were hardened. The stiff-necked people that we heard about from the first reading. They were not open to the mercy of God, the mercy that was on display in the first reading. When Moses reminded God, you know, we use human language in these conversations. Moses reminded God of the covenant that God had made with Abraham, that he would never abandon nor forsake them. Moses stood in the gap interceding for his people so that they would not be destroyed by reminding God of the goodness that God had already pledged to his people, the mercy, the love, the forgiveness already pledged. And this is why God relented from the evil, because he already promised not to do it. But he allowed Moses to stand in the gap and intercede for the people. So these people who had received God's mercy now in the gospel are unwilling to share it with others. So Jesus tells this parable. A man has 100 sheep. 100 sheep and one goes lost. He says, who wouldn't leave your 99 in the wilderness to go find the one dirty, nasty sheep, put it on your shoulders with joy, and then go home and have a party? Who wouldn't do it? No one. It's absurd. Which of you, having 10 coins and losing one, would spend the whole day looking for the lost coin, lighting your candle, so burning your oil, spending money to find the coin you lost, and then when you find it, have a party that more than likely costs more than the coin that you found? Who wouldn't do that? No one. It's absurd. Jesus came to reveal the merciful heart of the Father. And in these parables, he's showing us just how absurd God's love is. How paradoxical God's love is to what we would think, how we deal, our normal calculus of figuring things out. And why? Why is God like that? Why is Jesus like that? Because what did St. Paul tell us in the second reading? I mean, pop quiz, why did Jesus come to the world? What did St. Paul tell us? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's his mission. And we need to know that. We need to live out of that truth. St. Paul says, I was the worst. I was blasphemer. I was arrogant. I was a murderer. I was seeking to kill Christians. But God, in his mercy, found me worthy to be a steward of those mysteries. He showed mercy to me, the worst of all sinners, so that a lesser sinner would have the confidence to return to Jesus. If he can save me, who can he not save, is what Paul is saying. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's his mission. If we don't understand that, if we don't accept that, if we don't live in that truth, then everything we do in the church makes no sense. The reason we have the church, the reason why Christ established a Roman Catholic Church and gave her the priesthood and gave her the sacraments is so that the mercy of God could be dispensed to each one of you every time you need it. Without complaint, without judgment, without deeming who's worthy, as the Pharisees and scribes are trying to do. So he tells this beautiful story of the two sons. The younger son, Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my money now. I want my stuff now. He goes to a faraway land. He's that northern tribe who went far away. For a Jew, there would be nothing worse than to be in a far distant country living with the pigs. There's not a situation, a scenario that you can contrive in your brain that would be worse for a Jew than to be living in a foreign country with the pigs, desiring, begging to eat their food. You can't get any lower than that. And this is where this man was. Then he came to himself. He realized who he was and who his father is. And that's what this story is all about. Again, Jesus came to save sinners, but he came to reveal the face of the Father, the merciful heart of God the Father. When we sin, it's because we forget that. We don't know who we are and we don't know who God is. We want to use him for our own good, to live my best life now, to have the best thing, to be full of blessings, to have whatever. Give me my stuff. I don't need to be with you, but I want to enjoy the benefits of your life. That's what he did. That's what the younger son did. That's what we do every time we sin. I want to be alive out there with the protection and the blessing of Jesus, but I don't want the rules. I don't want the constraints of the faith. I don't want to have to follow all the religious stuff. I'm spiritual, not religious. But then the older son, he's been faithful the whole time, right? I've never disobeyed you. I've served you tirelessly for all these years. I don't disobey. I've served you. Are those the words of a son or a slave? Does he know himself to be a son? And does he know the Father to be a merciful, loving Father? He doesn't have his identity right either. We know that we're living in our culture with an identity crisis. I don't need to go into all the details. We know. Turn on the news. Scroll through your news feed. It's the work of the evil one to disrupt our identity. The identity of God the Father and who we are in Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to reveal that merciful heart. He came to save sinners so that we would never be lost in the wrong identity ever again. Have the arms of the Father open wide, begging us to come. He ran to his son. And sociologically, in this time, that would never happen. A man of high stature, it was said, the robes never flow. Meaning you don't walk fast enough that your robe would flow. You stand stately, and people approach you as a sign of respect, reverence, awe. And here this man is running to his son, who sees him from a far away. That means he was looking for him, desiring communion, desiring repentance, desiring to be restored. And when the older son refused to come in, the father went out to him and begged him to come inside. This is what God the Father does to us. He comes to us. He runs to us and invites us and begs us to come back home. This is why the sacraments are so readily available to us. Mass every day, confession anytime we need it, so that we can reconcile with the Father and never live a life of lost ever again. I will rise and go to my Father. That's what we sang in the response to a psalm. It's what the prodigal son said. It's what we say every time we go to confession. I'm tired of living in the pigsty. I want to go home. The invitation is for each one of us today. How far have you run? Or maybe you're close and you're just checking boxes, trying to not break the rules, trying not to disobey, to offend your master. Turn. Return to the Father's house, not the slave master's house. Return to the Father's house. Turn away from the complaining, the jealousy, the anger, the unforgiveness. Turn away from the life of dissipation, the immorality. Turn away from supporting all the nonsense and the news that's contrary to Jesus. Turn away from all of that and return to the Father's house. Then you will experience the joy that your heart yearns for, that your heart is made for, the joy that we heard about in the gospel, that the whole community came around to rejoice over the abundance of the mercy on display. The church is a place, should be a place of rejoicing at the abundant mercy of God the Father. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Will you allow him into your heart to save you? Amen.